Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, text number 39. Pranay Svaya Praninakpanti Sarva Shana Bangurai Para Vaireshu Bhuteshu Mohitesh Vatma Maya Pranay by lives Swai their own Pranina other living entities Panti protect Sarva devotees Shana Bangurai, temporary. Bhadavireshu, unnecessarily engaged in animosity. Bhuteshu, unto living entities. Mohiteshu, bewildered. Atmamaya, by the external energy of the Lord. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. Purport, this is the characteristic of a Vaishnava. Paraduka Duki. A Vaishnava is always unhappy to see the conditioned souls unhappy. Otherwise, he would have no business teaching them how to become happy. In materialistic life, people must certainly engage in activities of animosity. Materialistic life is therefore compared to samsara dhavanala, a blazing forest fire that automatically takes place. Lord Shiva and his followers in the Parampara system try to save people from this dangerous condition of materialistic life. This is the duty of devotees following the principles of Lord Shiva and belonging to the Rudra Sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and the Rudra Sampradaya is one of them because Lord Shiva Rudra is the best of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavana, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Indeed, as we shall see, Lord Shiva drank all the poison for the benefit of humanity. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter because it's... My dear gentle wife, Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all living entities may thus become happy because of me. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, after informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison, and Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so. Thereafter, Lord Shiva was dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. Purport. Although there was such a great quantity of poison that is spread all over the universe, Lord Shiva had such great power that he reduced the poison to a small quantity so he could hold it in his palm. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes, but those who try to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things will certainly be killed because of such activities. As if in defamation, the poison born from the ocean milk manifested its potency by marking Lord Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is now accepted as an ornament of the Lord. Text number 44. It is said that great personalities almost always voluntarily accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 1868-69, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva badashati nachatas mad manusheshu kasyame priyakritaha maha. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective. The laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer and enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or a profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastras say, Tasyaiva heto priyate tako vido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. One tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Nitya Bhyuktanam Yoga Shemam Vahamyaham. Again, as stated here, Tapyante Loka Tapena Sarva Prayasa Jana. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness, the Lord himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham paritranaya sarunam vinishaya tridiskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavanyuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I admit myself millennium after millennium. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world, because the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes that service performed by a devotee. Text 45. Upon hearing of this act, everyone including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general, very highly praise this deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and bestows benedictions upon the people. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs, and other animals who bites are poisonous, took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking. Purport. Mosquitoes. Mark that. Mosquitoes. Jackals. I don't know. Has anyone ever been bit by a jackal? Jackals are considered poisonous. Dogs. Stay away from dogs. And other varieties of dandasuka, or animals whose bites are poisonous, drank the poison of the Samudra Mandana, the churned ocean, since it was available after it fell from the palms of Lord Shiva. Now the question may be raised, what is the purpose of being in the material world? the soul. For most people, Krishna says, chintyam aparayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam iti nischita asha pasha sutarabhada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bogartha aninenartha sanjaya. They believe, I'm sure if you did a survey, 99.99% of the people would believe this, that they believe that to gratify their senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement to their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense enjoyment. So most people think the object of life is to make a secure arrangement so that we can go on eating, sleeping, mating, defending, unto the very end of life. Peacefully, happily. As we know that famous story of the minister, Maharaj Aurangzeb, I guess it was Akbar, asked his minister, up until what point does a man have sex desire? So his minister said, up to the moment of death. So Akbar didn't believe that. He couldn't accept that. So the minister said, well, I'll demonstrate it for you. So later on, the minister came on, sometime later. The minister came into the palace and told the king to come with him and bring his beautiful princess, young daughter. So they came into a room where an old man was about to leave his body, lying in the bed, hardly breathing. The emperor entered into the room. The man didn't do anything. The minister entered into the room. There was no reaction by this man. Then suddenly the beautiful young princess entered into the room, and the man sat up in his bed, winked at the princess, and then died. So the emperor thought, well, he has a point there. So that's the idea, is that people are thinking, if we can enjoy our senses until the end of life, then our life is perfect. But people don't know, they don't know that the aim of life is to become Krishna conscious. Because if we become Krishna conscious, then all our material problems are solved. It's not that there won't be any material problems, but we won't think they're our problems anymore. We only have one problem, is that we think our material problems are our problems. If we don't identify ourselves with these material problems, then we have no more problem. And above that, if we actually identify ourselves with Krishna, simultaneously we won't identify ourselves with his temporary material problems, and we'll have eternal happiness instead of problems. Therefore, as it mentions here, the greatest welfare work is to wake people up. Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra, Bole. That, my dearest souls, please wake up. You are in this material world because you want to be here, but you can actually develop a desire to go somewhere else. To go to an eternal abode full of bliss and unlimited expansion of consciousness, of blissful consciousness, loving, blissful consciousness. You can go there if you want, but you have to develop the desire to go there. And the only way you can develop a desire to go there is if Krishna reveals himself to you. And the only way Krishna is going to reveal himself to you, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mam abhijananti yava nyasyasmi tattvata tito mam tattvato gyatva vishite taranantaram. One can understand me as I am only through the process of pure devotional service. And by performing such devotional service, then one can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So, Krishna reveals himself to us out of compassion for our attempts at devotional service, then the result is that we'll wake up and realize that we have nothing to do with this material world. Only due to our causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna, we've been entrapped by Krishna's illusory energy. And this illusory energy, instead of creating peace and harmony, simply creates problems. Now, it may create less problems in the mode of goodness, but for the ants that are being stepped on by the Brahmin, he may not think his problem hasn't been solved. Maybe the Brahmin is nonviolent towards the cows and other living entities. Unfortunately, consciously or unconsciously, that little ant that got squashed, for him it was a violent death. And at the last moment, he may be cursing that whatever object has fallen on his little head. So even if we come to the mode of goodness, even Brahma is more or less, well, of course, to say he's in the higher planetary systems, they're using up their karma, but still, even Brahma is still conditioned by the material energy. And therefore, he also has to suffer. Anyone who comes here to try to enjoy, even subtly, the false ego that I'm the Brahma's even emits when he, after he kidnapped the calves and the cow or boys and hid them in a cave for a year. Even he admitted that it was due to my false ego, that I think I'm so powerful that I thought I could play around with little Gopal Krishna and play around with him and play tricks with him. But that was just my false ego because I thought I was so powerful. But now I see I'm completely insignificant and I've committed a great offense. What to speak of Indra? We can look forward to the next holiday is Indra Pooj. Actually, Govardhan Pooj. Anyhow, you can perform Indra Pooj also. Most of us, we'll celebrate Govardhan Pooj. The stopping of Indra Pooj. But Indra is not going to throw any, going to try and destroy Ljubljana because it's already destroyed. From his point of view, there's nothing left. He wouldn't waste a thunderbolt on it. In any case, we'll have the pleasure of glorifying Krishna because he held up Govardhan Hill and protected the residents of Vrindavan. And we want him to protect us, not by holding up a hill. Of course, if he could hold up a hill, that wouldn't be, we'd appreciate that too. But by protecting our consciousness so that we don't fall into Maya. And what is that Maya? As Krishna says, Tanaham dvishita kuran samsareshu naradamam shipram yat jasram ashubam asvishveva yonishu asrim yona apanam muda janmani janmani Tama prapyaiva kuntiya titomam aprudam titomam, what's the last word? Asram babam asram muda janmini janmini mama praiva kuntiya titoyantyana mam gitim. Tanaham dvishita kuram. Those who are envious. So who are the envious people? Anyone here ever experienced any envy? So we can be counted amongst the envious. Tanaham dvishita, those who are mischievous. Anyone here ever do any mischievous activity? Anything outside of devotional service? Kuran, who are cruel. Kuran means cruel. We don't mind stepping on ants. Because they can't complain. We've gotten away with it. No one's going to catch us stepping on those ants on the street. That mosquito deserved it. It looked kind of menacing. Besides that, we read it has poison in it. It can kill the poison givers. Quran, samsaresha naradamam, the lowest among men. Of course, we think we're the highest. But anyone who's in this material world and so-called modern civilization who's not surrendered to Krishna, they're considered to be I mean, some people lower than lowest. But our attitude shouldn't be that I'm so exalted. Because after all, if we're identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, we must be criminals. The material nature, the law, the police force of the material nature, Maya, she puts only people who are criminals into the bodily concept of life. The worst criminal thing you can do is go against Krishna. You may steal from the state, you may even kill a Brahmin, you may do so many things. But you're already a criminal. That's just further criminal activities, that's all. But the worst criminal activity, the basic criminal activity, is that we've come here to steal from Krishna, to imitate Krishna, to forget Krishna, to defy Krishna, to go against Krishna. And therefore we're trapped in a prison called this material body, which we're in love with. Which could be a better prison that the judge, the jury, the police force, the prison keepers, they make you fall in love with your prison cell. That even they open up the cell and invite you to come out. You say, no way, I love this prison. I just want to decorate a little bit more. It's like the same idea as that the bird who's been trained up to be in a cage, he actually feels secure in the cage. And when the owner opens up the cage, the little bird goes out of the cage for some time, dances around, and then rapidly gets back into the cage feeling insecure without being trapped in the cage. So in conditioned life, we've taken this body as our security and we're working hard to maintain it so it doesn't become destroyed, because we think at the end of this body that I'll be in difficulty. And indeed, 99.9% of the people in this world certainly will be in difficulty because they haven't done anything pious in their lives. Therefore, mischievous, envious, lowest, they're perpetually cast into the lowest species of life. Asram yona apanam muda janmani janmani. So those who are mudhas, and who's the muda? Anyone who misidentifies themselves with this body and acts in the bodily concept of life. Then they sink lower and lower into the various species of life. Krishna personally invites them into the animal species of life or lower. So what's the problem? Trividanarakasyedam dvaranashidam atmanaha kama krota tata lobas tasmat etam trayam chajet. That there are three gates leading to hell. And everyone's invited. And indeed, people are unsatisfied they're going to hell quick enough. Nowadays, in modern society, Satanism has become very, very prominent, especially amongst so-called leaders of society. Many of them, the entertainment field especially, and the politicians, they become Satanists. Overtly. And what they're trying to do is propagate lust, anger, and greed. The so-called heroes of modern society are the greediest people who have made arrangements to cheat the majority of the people, the innocent people, so-called innocent people. Prabhupada, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupada said, modern society means simply the cheaters and the cheated. There's a few people with some brains due to their past good and bad karma, who have the ability to cheat the vast majority of the people. Because the vast majority of people are foolish, therefore they're easily cheated. The Shudras are only interested in sense gratification. And therefore there's a few people who have some brains for economic development, and they cheat the Shudras by their economic development to engage simply in sense gratification and become exploited by them. There's no dharma, there's no understanding of liberation. There's simply a few people producing so-called economic development for sense gratification. And Darashaya ye bahi artimanina. There's not much real substance to it, but it's, they think it's the only alternative. Andaya tandera pigiyamanaste pisha tantra urudami vara. They're blind, and their so-called leaders are also blind. And the result is that they simply fall into the laws of material nature, into very bad karma, lower and lower species of life. Therefore, as it says here in conclusion, naishamatis tavat arukramang grim sprishat inarta bhagavang inarta mahiyasham pararudevi shekam iskinchananam navriniti yadvat. Prahlad Maharaj advises that naishamatis tavat arukramang grim. So arukram, the Supreme Lord whose footsteps, by just two foot steps, he was able to cover the whole universe. Mahashitya ye parapalavam plavam mahatpadam punyanishor murare. That Krishna's lotus feet, if you take shelter of them, then the whole ocean of material existence, you can cross over. Just like one can cross over easily the amount of water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So we accept the lotus feet of the boat, of the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu, then we can easily cross over the ocean of material miseries. And that's done by accepting Krishna's representatives, gurus, sadhu, and shastra. We take shelter of those who are giving us actual intelligence and knowledge how to take shelter of Krishna through pure devotional service. Then the result is, well, we become purified of this tendency to exploit others, lust, under the control of material nature, simply the desire to enjoy others. To enjoy others' property, including this body, which doesn't belong to us. And anger is the frustration that comes from not being able to enjoy, or the greed or the lust that we've become victimized by, and we're trying to victimize others too. Then we become angry and we become even more destructive. So, goodness means that we're trying to get out of material existence. Passion means we're trying to enjoy material existence. And ignorance means we're trying to destroy the material existence. All three of them, only goodness is auspicious as much as that we actually work towards freedom, towards liberation, so that one day we can actually have a truly auspicious life in pure Krishna consciousness. So the devotees, if we want to become actual devotees of Krishna, then we have to serve Krishna. And service to Krishna in this age means service to the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come and simply chant Hare Krishna by himself. He actually went all around South India. He went in India and preached Krishna consciousness. And had his assistants, such as Lord Nityananda, everywhere, spread the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the example of what the aim is become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness by doing so. So we want to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we want to distribute that opportunity for others to become Krishna conscious too, as simply an instrument for Krishna. And then our lives will become, when Krishna recognizes that we're actually sincere servants of his, performing his mission, then he'll empower us to do that, and that empowerment will be the cause of our liberation. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I already asked this question once, but you already told me, but this, I was surprised that it said that Mahatmanas still accept voluntarily some sufferings for the others. But I know you said that Lord Chaitanya was not into this idea that one should suffer for others. Like, I think who was Vasudevdatta wanted to accept all the...
Well, he said, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there's no need, just by the loud chanting Hare Krishna, if you want to deliver them, I'm going to deliver them. But that doesn't mean that the Mahatmas or the great souls aren't prepared to accept suffering, apparent suffering. And indeed, devotees may not be on the level of Vasudevdatta, but Prabhupada appreciated that they go out into all kinds of weather, distribute the holy name, and there is some suffering there. But that's actually tapasya, and that's purifying. So they accept some tapasya to spread Krishna consciousness. It's not that everyone is on the level of Vasudev Dat. So there is some suffering. But that suffering is also the cause of their liberation too. Learning how to, if we chant Hare Krishna, we're in Krishna consciousness, there may be apparent suffering, but that suffering inspires us to become more deeply absorbed in chanting the holy name, take even more shelter of Krishna. Without that suffering, there is no impetus to become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We can certainly chant Hare Krishna anywhere, even in the temple, but we're not, we may not be so much impelled to take shelter of Krishna. If we're out in the street trying to distribute a book, then we're forced to take shelter of Krishna, because without that intelligence, we won't be able to do anything out there. So we're forced to take shelter of Krishna and become humble, praying for his mercy. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
It's a connected question also to what you described, that sometimes some suffering encourages one to take shelter in Krishna. And it's connected to a question I was asked yesterday. Why would Krishna allow some external events to happen that apparently derail somebody's Krishna consciousness? Somebody was in Krishna consciousness, then something happened, and they got very discouraged. Afterwards, apparently, they did come back, but it seems we sometimes can find such instances, so why wouldn't Krishna remove that external event that apparently causes the loss of Krishna consciousness, or adjust?
No external event is the cause of the loss of Krishna consciousness. It's the causes unwillingness of the soul to accept Krishna consciousness that causes that problem. But without that, if Krishna made the test exactly suitable every time, it wouldn't be appropriate, because we've done so many things in the past that we deserve to get some kind of reaction for it. And if we get a reaction, even Krishna minimizes it, but we become discouraged in Krishna consciousness, I mean, it's due to some tendency to become neglectful or even resentful against Krishna, as if Krishna is our order supplier and he has to make everything perfectly arranged for us. Otherwise, we won't accept him. So it's an opportunity to learn also that we're not as sincere as we might imagine ourselves, and that when we reject Krishna and we reject taking shelter of him in difficulty, we'll find out how much more difficulty we'll cause ourselves. So it's a learning lesson too. Okay.
From Prema Vivarta, milk and yogurt made according to smarta ritualistic regulations are deemed to be non-vegetarian. However,
milk and yogurt, according to smarta regulations, are deemed to be non-vegetarian.
Yes.
So Krishna is really, the whole spiritual world is full of meat eaters. Where is this from? I never heard of this. Did you ever hear anything?
Said Prema Vivarta.
Prema Vivarta. Milk and yogurt are considered to be non-veg. Okay. That's interesting.
Then he continues, however, when a proper renunciant, Yukta Vairagi, accepts them, they become vegetarian. So the question is, why milk and yogurt are non-vegetarian?
Oh, believe me, milk and yogurt are not non-vegetarian. I don't know which Prema Vivarta you're reading, but...
It seems to be some condemnation of the smarta rules. He says that the smarta rules are so bad that even milk becomes non-veg. But why? I'm not sure what the smarta rules
are. I don't know. I wouldn't worry about it. We're not following the smarta rules. He can hardly follow our rules. But the speaker of the smart rules. Yes, Maharaji.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this class. You mentioned in the lecture that today's politicians, artists, rock stars, etc., etc., they follow Satanism.
I don't say all of them, some of them.
Oh, okay. What is Satanism?
Satanism? You never heard of the devil?
Yes.
They're worshiping the devil. Satanism is more or less that there's no restriction for your sense gratification up to the level of taking little children and killing them and then eating them as an offering to Satan. This has been going on, I think, since time immemorial. There's a class of people who do that. Cannibalism. As steep as you can. I mean, that's what happens at the end of Kali Yuga. That becomes the standard. It's Kali Yuga. It comes up to you're eating your own children.
Thank you.
Just early. Even Prabhupada was here, there was this Andy Warhol. He had his, and they were advertised in New York, I guess, someplace in New York, they were having restaurants where they were serving baby fetuses.
Yes, I have heard of this, that it's served up as a delicacy, aborted fetuses.
Yes, yeah. All kinds of, there's other things, non-mentionable, even worse than that. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.